From whatthethink.com, it's Conversations in Print, a podcast about the future of the print industry with some of its more interesting characters. Hello, this is Jennifer Matt from What They Think, and today's podcast is with Peter Gunning from, he is the CEO of Graphenia, and we are going to talk about the transition from traditional print manufacturing to expanding the scope to provide digital services. So welcome to the podcast, Peter.
Thanks, Jennifer. Thanks for asking me.
So Peter, we've talked quite a bit in the past about what you guys are up to. And so I think we should just let you introduce yourself as to your company has a, you know, what I'm counting at least 9 brands that you support.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why don't you give us the, you know, 30,000 foot level view of what you guys are doing and how they kind of wrap together before we dive in. I specifically want to talk to you about the Nettle brand in particular.
Yeah. And I think some of those brands are maybe confusing. So let's, maybe I start real quick at the beginning. I opened the very first printing.com shop in Edinburgh back in 1998. So I had a design business, joined the company that I'm now CEO of, and we opened a high street store in city centre of Edinburgh. Printing.com shops were, I guess, a bit like Quick Copy over there, a bit like Sir Speedy, Minuteman, those kind of things, except we had no production in the actual stores. So we had a centralized production hub, which was in Manchester in the UK. And our stores were really just places where customers could come in and they could see samples, print samples, and we did design and help them with their marketing. So selling to small businesses. And we grew that chain from one store through to 300 over the in the UK. And really, it was just because we had a sort of better product than the local competitors at the time and a lower price. So that market started to decline. We could see the world was changing, you know, as far back as 10 years ago. And we tried a load of different things. So all those brands that you mentioned are things that we've tried really to move away from high street or print and try other things. So not all of them have been successful in replacing what we once had. But the one which is growing really well for us now is Nettle. And Nettle is really, quite simply, a reboot of the print store for the future, I guess. It's when we're marketing, we say the print shop is dead, long live the print shop, because we think this is a place where businesses can still come for local creative, and we still sell print, but we lead with digital. Maybe it's worth just explaining the reason why, because I guess some many of your listeners might be thinking, what's the difference between Nettle and a print store? And I think when I opened the first shop in Edinburgh, when a small business came in, the first thing they wanted was business cards, and we then sell them maybe a corporate identity. We do a logo for them. We do their marketing, and we grow with them, and they'd start to order more things as their business grew. And then I reckon 10 years ago, but increasingly here in the UK, the first thing that a small business wants these days is a website, right? And where do you go for a website? Well, you might do it yourself using GoDaddy or Wix or any of those online web design tools, or you might go to somebody you've met at business networking, or actually what a lot of people do is go to the kid next door who's good with computers.
And
they'll do your site for you, and then when they've done that, you ask them, well, can you sort out some business cards, can you give me some letterheads? Sure. And these days there's any number of places you can, if you've got a PDF file, you can send it to Zoo, to Forover, to any of those online print channels. And the same happened in the UK, and the same, there's the same kind of places. So what we were finding was, once, if we didn't get the web, not only were we not getting the revenue for the web, but actually we were probably losing that client, because if we weren't owning that creative relationship anymore, if we weren't the first person in that line, then we were probably going to lose the print as well. So that Nettle was born really out of necessity in saying, well, look, we've always sold websites through printsy.com, but we kind of said, well, look, this is what clients are prioritizing, so we need to lead with web. And so Nettle, first and foremost, are positioned as web studios. So we lead with web, e-commerce, online bookings, websites. But the crazy thing is, once we win with the web, then we get to keep the print. So actually two-thirds of what we sell in Nettle Studios is still print, expo, display. But in order to get that, we have to own the creative relationship, and we have to start with a website. And that was a little bit more than 30,000 feet. Mm-hmm. So sorry about that.
No, that's fine. I think it's such an interesting thing, because we, I think for decades we led with print, and the customers were leading with print as the primary way to get their marketing message out. And so it was a natural relationship. You know, a small business customer has a relationship with a printer. Printer sort of finds a way to do all things print for them, you know. But I, you know, the world's changing, and people are has already changed. And the first thing people think of is online, and then print comes maybe after that. Almost yeah. with the same amount of prioritization and things, it's just at a different order. And what you're saying is Nettle is seeing that order and saying, okay, we'll lead with digital, but we'll also have a full featured solution that includes print in that in absolutely. That offering.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think our company was printsy.com for so long, and we still sell almost as much print today as we did at the peak. We have to charge less for it because the world's got more competitive. But clients are still using print. It's just that actually the thing that excites them isn't anymore a set of flyers. They look first about how they promote themselves overall, and that just starts with them. The things that get them excited are how to add online bookings, how to build a web shop. And then print is kind of part of the mix, part of how they promote themselves, but it's just not the thing that makes them tick anymore.
I feel like this is going in line with at least what's happening in the U.S. I mean, we're going, the retail space is being completely reinvented in the U.S. It's traditional retailers are going out of business, and then companies like Amazon are starting retail locations, which is like ironic. And of course, the Apple retail, we won't call it an experiment anymore, phenomenal success, is that is showing that people still do want to walk into stores. And so I find it interesting that your original kind of approach to this, to printing, was to have a store that people could come in, but you didn't have manufacturing equipment there. And now you're like reinventing that, just with a different value pitch.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We just thought it was better to, instead of employing local printers, small production machines, we had a large central production facility with, commercial print equipment, aggregating lots and lots of orders together, and that was just more efficient. And it's exactly right what you say, Jennifer, because we still have online print channels. One of them is actually growing. So if you are in the trade in the UK, you can buy all of our wholesale print trade prices from marketspace.com. And if you've got a PDF file, you can upload it and you'll get a print sent back overnight. But it's what you say, that I think there's been actually a polarization now of, if it's easier and more convenient to buy something online, then it will be bought online. So if you're a retailer and the thing you're selling can be bought easily online, your days are probably numbered. There's probably not much life left in your offering. But the other side is the kind of notion that people want to still experience or retail to be an experience. And I forget the name of the lady who's now running Apple's retail, but she talks about it really nicely, that they're trying to be the town square or the town center for a community, and that's a place that people can come in and learn for them to be more than just about selling electronics. And I guess with Netto, what we're trying to do is trying to be the place where businesses can come in. They can see print samples. Maybe they're not so exciting anymore, but we've invested heavily into digital textiles and ink on fabric. So that means that we're now selling and producing a range of fabric furniture, fabric exhibition displays, things for that you can use in your office to make the place a bit cooler. So these things are physical things and they're big. And so we merchandise them in a way that is inspirational, because that inspires clients to think about ideas rather than think about prices. And with Netto, it's really, we're trying to build a place where businesses can come in for advice, whether that's on print, whether that's on expo. It's probably more likely to be on the difficult things they want to do these days online. It is worth, I think sometimes, Jennifer, when you say, you say to people, yeah, we do websites, they still have an expectation that businesses are happy with the thing that they used to have 5 years ago, the five-page site with contact details and, about us. But the world's moved on, and these days, even small businesses want to interact with their own clients online. So if you've got a shop and you're physically selling something, you want to sell that product online. You want a web shop, and you want that to link in with your EPOS system, your till system, because you've got to have inventory management. If you're if you're a restaurant, if you're a beauty salon, you want your clients to be able to book an appointment or book a table, and just filling in a form doesn't cut it anymore. You want to show live availability of the appointments that are available, and for clients to know that there's availability. And that's going to work with your in-store booking system or your telephone booking system. So that kind of stuff is quite difficult. And where do you go if you're a business owner for that? You maybe kind of Google it or work out how to do it yourself, but it's not easy. So we're trying to be the place, really, where businesses can come for help with that. And once we've sorted out the actual explicit need that they want, then we can help them and say, what's next? How are you going to complement? How are you going to drive traffic to that site? How are you going to actually encourage online bookings? And then print becomes part of that marketing mix.
One of the interesting things that you had told me before is the model for Nettle is that I had said that many progressive printers here in the U.S. have seen the writing on the wall and said, I need to get into this space in order to keep the print. And so what they did is they went out and bought an agency, and said, okay, I'll just buy this expertise, bring it in, and then we'll have the print manufacturing behind it. And so can you just talk a little bit about how Nettle is positioned to, if you don't want to go out and buy an agency, you could license Nettle. I don't know if I'm using the term right, but if that's the right term, and basically start it up yourself inside with this like centralized support. So this ability to become a marketing service provider, but not go it on your own, have a centralized entity that's supporting you in that journey.
Yeah, and the journey that rewind 10 years ago, we were saying to our printing.com franchisees at the time, look, you guys have got to diversify, you've got to work out, you've got to learn how to web, you've got to get your skills there, We were selling websites back then, but our solution wasn't as sophisticated as it is now. So, but quite often, this is a typical journey that we hear from maybe a small print shop or a print company. Usually, the path they take is they'll hire a web developer, web designer, and usually that's the level they're willing to pay is usually a kid who's straight out of university, and they'll have some success. They'll win a couple of sites that have got this funky, funky features. Then what happens, Jennifer, is that kid finds out, as a web developer, do you know what? Their skills are pretty much pretty in demand, and they can move to the next job for 5K more, for 10K more, and almost the partner finds like they're now being held to hostage because they're back back to square zero. If that guy or girl leaves, not only does the knowledge leave, but they're not going to be able to sell more websites. So we've seen crazy situations where just to keep this kid, they're given equity stakes in the business and stuff like that. So we thought there's a better way. So what the Netto system does, and we've developed this our software over best part of 20 years. It's been through some generation changes in that time, so it's not we're not on 20-year-old technology. But the platform we've developed initially was to connect printing.com stores to our hub, and then their stores to their clients. We built new modules and functionality on top, but essentially the Netto system lets a graphic designer make a pitch, write a proposal, create a project, build a development website, design the site according to whatever platform is appropriate for the end client, because the actual web solution could be take one of many forms. Then they can mess around with security certificates and domain names and all of that stuff without tugging on the sleeves of a developer and without getting the owner involved. And so the knowledge is in the system, and we give that designer the skills they need to be able to do the bulk of the plausible projects that we sell in a Netto studio.
I just want to comment on that, is that the hiring a kid approach sounds like, for a business owner, they're like, this is the way I can have, the most control. But I see the same thing. And the problem you see is that a kid, no matter, how young or old they are or what skills they have, they do not think sustainability. In a sustainable way. What they think is, what's the cool tool that I want to learn?
You got it, yeah.
Right? And so,
yeah.
And so, or if they're maybe, I'm being a little ageist here, but a little older, they're like, what's the tool I know and I feel comfortable with? And so that's why, we go into print shops all the time and we see, wow, every single problem that you guys have had has been solved with FileMaker. Why? Yeah. Why? Because there's one dude in the back that loves FileMaker. And I loved FileMaker also at one time in my life, almost 20 years ago. But you got to move on. FileMaker's not the enterprise solution it was at one time or ever was. So the other thing is, we have this kid mentality of they build it on what they know, and they don't, and then it's not sustainable. And so what I loved about what you said is that the knowledge is in the system, not in the employee, because you have to build these technologies in a way that it's repeatable and profitable.
You got it. And you just reminded me that I love that quote, when all you got is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Mm-hmm. So you're going to try and solve every problem with FileMaker.
I believe every business on the planet, every business that doesn't have technical resources in it, they have three hammers. One is create a spreadsheet. The other is send more email. And the third one is make a PDF of it and save it forever.
Nice.
So those three solutions are out there in just like every single business we walk into. It's we have those three solutions. Just be, and so for every time somebody wants to keep track of something, they just squirrel it away in this isolated spreadsheet, and then that data is not available. It's not trusted. It's one instance. It's a snapshot. So tell me, like, if you were a printer here in the US and you were sitting there going, well, you're listening to this podcast and you're like, I am print only. I know I need to get into this. How would that printer potentially look at Nettle as a possible solution?
So we're now looking for partners around the world, including the US. Maybe just to answer a question from that you just asked a second ago that I didn't answer, because what you were describing there is really part of the whole problem, because when that when you look at everything's possible in technology now, isn't it? There, you want to do something, there's a way of doing it, and the trick is knowing how to do it, where the dead ends are, where the black holes are. And this is really important, because you're a printer, somebody comes in and says, can you do me an online booking app for my salon? The answer is yes. Usually, before you can give a price for something, first you've got to work out how you're going to do it, right? Because if you don't know how you're going to do it, then somebody says, can you build me Facebook? Well, that's not a plausible project. So you've got to know how you're going to do it before you can give a price. So actually, there's this black hole at the start where you've got to spend some time actually solving the problem, at least to a top level, before you can work out what you're going to propose for that client. So we just thought that was inefficient. And what you said before about using multiplying the knowledge, the approach we take is, we employ programmers, we employ developers, but we do those centrally, and we call them our geeks. And the geeks are, they can work on individual client projects. You can bill them by the hour. But really, their purpose is to look for common things, common problems that are specific to a certain industry. And so the geeks, what they do is they build a fast path. And the fast path is a known project. So it has a start, middle, and an end. It has an instruction recipe, if you like, and a portfolio example. It shows you where to start, what plugins to use, what code maybe to customize. And this is like a recipe that then that designer uses as a live project, which shows them how to do it and becomes the framework of that project. And then they can design the layers on top of that. So we figure it's just better that we solve those problems in advance, and then we sell that solution locally as many times as we can through our network of nettles. So and that's kind of the USP, I guess.
So it's like if we put it in printer's terms, right? You as a printer, you want to start manufacturing a new product or service, and so you create, you might buy some hardware, and then you have to create a workflow. And so when somebody orders this product, it travels through a workflow. I mean, it sounds like what you guys are doing is trying to build those workflows for software technology projects, so they're predictable. And that you can quote them without investing a bunch of R&D for every quote.
That's exactly it. So the vision really is like somebody from one of our Nettle studios, instead of, so they know they're going to see a hair salon. So instead of going to that hair salon and saying what do you want, they can say, okay, so before I go to the meeting, I'm going to look into the Nettle system. I'm going to go to the industry insights section. I'm going to look up salons, and then they're going to look at the opportunity section. So what might a salon want to do? Well, offline, there's probably priceless menus, posters. Online, maybe they want clients to leave reviews. Maybe they want to sell that special shampoo that you can only buy from salons. So maybe they want click and collect functionality there. But probably the most common one is going to be online booking. So the NETO person can have a look in opportunities and bookings and see, okay, well, the most common ones are Wahanda, Salon Iris, iSalon, whatever those are. And underneath each of those, we've got portfolio sites, because the first thing that salon asks is, can you show me what else you've done for salons? Because like that's what they do in the print shop, right? They say, show me what other restaurants are doing. And they want to see what work you've done for other people in town. That's the nature of what our clients are like. So instead of that conversation being, what do you want? Okay, let me go and work out if I can do it and then give you a price. That person can go into the meeting and say, what booking system are you using? Well, actually, this is the most popular. Here's a site we've done which has that on it. And that project's going to be 2,000 or £1,500 pounds. Shall we get going? So we just think that's more efficient.
And so what you're saying is that you also, as part of the NETO service, you sort of centralize the case studies. So if you're going into your first salon, you're not going in looking like it's your first salon. You can use what NETO's already done across their whole network.
That's right. Yeah. No, so the client doesn't care that it was done by NETO of Worcester or NETO of Swansea. This is done by another partner in another part of the country. It's part of the NETO network, and that's building a portfolio of hundreds and thousands of sites takes time as a small studio. We give our partners the scale behind them. So there's that element. One of the other problems that sometimes we hear, Jennifer, is if you're an independent, you're a print shop, maybe the client will tell you this to your face, or maybe they won't. Maybe it'll be an implied or a secret worry. But they're saying, do you know what happens to my website if you go bust or you die? Mm-hmm. Your business looks a bit tatty, maybe you're not going to be here in a year or 2 years. So with the NETO system, we're able to say, well, look, it's, even if the individual partner disappears, the knowledge is in the system. Your site is hosted centrally as part of the NETO infrastructure, which is on cloud-based platform. That just gives you the confidence that we can deliver. So it's the power of something bigger behind you and the help of a national network. Just that helps the sale.
So Peter, what do you think, for more traditional printers who are servicing this market, who are independents working in a region and are servicing the local market, so small, medium-sized businesses, what do you think they're the biggest barrier to them getting into, what I would just generally call the digital services business? What do you see as their biggest barrier?
So we can have a graphic that we use at trade shows, which says, where are you on your web journey? And if you visualize it as like a climb up a mountain, some people just haven't got started. So they know everybody, they'll be listening to this podcast saying, oh, Jennifer's on at me again to get going with websites. I know I need to do it. I don't know how. So NETO helps you get started. And for those people who have not made any steps at all, if they've got a graphic capability and there is somebody in the team who's tech savvy, then we can help them get started. Then there's also people who've maybe tried first generation web. So you said FileMaker, but I'm thinking Dreamweaver, or they've done it the old way, which was, I spoke speaking to a lady last week in Germany, and she still does it the traditional way, which is you design the Photoshop wireframes, and then you send it off to a coder to be spliced, and then they make your website.
Wow.
So that's still still people doing that, and that's that was fine. Try doing that now, where you're designing a site which has got to be responsive across mobile, tablet, and desktop. By the time you've designed all the Photoshop mockups, you're quicker just building it in a, building it in a, the platform itself with our techniques. So then maybe there's people who maybe made some money, who've done some brochure sites, and they're thinking about, well, okay, yes, I can do websites. Yes, we know how to do CSS. We know how to do WordPress. How do I do e-commerce? Clients need that. So almost the next step seems really, really distant. And the next step seems like that is out with your skill set, because maybe that's going to be talking about databases and difficult things outside of your comfort zone. So the Nettle system helps those people to acquire that, the next dimension of the things that are more higher value and more complicated, again, just by being being the sort of with FastPass and the project planning. And then the top one, we see you're at the top of the mountain and you've peaked. And we see this as well. We see people are making good money with certain web projects, but they've maxed out their team. Their projects are taking longer than they should do, and they're turning away work at lower down the. Some people say, "Look, I don't get out of bed for less than a 5K website." Well, you're really cutting off a big part of the market there. We can the Nettle system can show you how to profitably take care of even these smaller value sites, because they can be done more quickly and more efficiently. So. There's your specific question was, what barriers are there? And I think the answer is the barrier is the desire, because it depends where you are on your journey. We've helped different princes from all of those aspects to grow their businesses into this space. So I guess is Nettle for everybody? No. There's plenty of people that we come across that couldn't be Nettle partners because maybe they don't have the technical savviness or desire to learn those skills. Look, it's still not print, right? It's graphic design, but you need to you need to have a desire to. Understand the technicalities of how things work, yeah. But apart from that, it's there aren't many barriers, Jennifer.
Yeah, I think one of the barriers is this view that we do everything outside of the print manufacturing process in support of the print manufacturing process, and so we I've just seen printers time and time again going, oh, we'll build that web to print site for free because we get the print. And yeah. And it's just it's super dangerous, because one, then the customer doesn't value it either. You're not valuing it. And so then you're seeing technology and your technical people as just a cost and not a revenue center. And this is exactly where we need to go, is that technical people inside of printers need to be revenue centers. And that's that whole thing around yeah. services. I mean, I've been involved with some corporate deals, direct corporate deals in the U.S. And I just drop these numbers because I want printers to understand that, like, this is what corporations are willing to pay. I mean, the last web to print deal for fairly large company, their subscription fee just for the web to print solution that was put in there was $18,000 a month.
Nice.
And that had nothing to do with print. It had nothing to do with the printer. It's just that was the value they put on putting having all of their stuff available to all their people right when they need it, across multiple mediums, in a secure environment that gets updated all the time. That's the value that they saw, that because when you talk to them about technology, $18,000 a month is nothing when you compare it to something like, you know, like the what they're paying Salesforce or SAP or Microsoft or Oracle. But you know, the problem is that printers walk into the deal and they're thinking, all I'm here for is to make sure I get the print. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think you're absolutely right. Time and time again, you see, you'll set up these systems for free and then the volumes don't come right because one reason or another, if it's not the easiest way for the client, then they'll revert to whatever way is easiest. So you're right, and it's where I think the thing with if people are viewing print as an overhead and expense, whereas I think people view web and e-commerce almost as an investment. You know, you're investing in building a web shop is like deciding to build a second store. You're going to say, well, actually, what's putting money into building this web shop? What's that going to bring me in revenue and online sales? It's like opening a second location. So you're not thinking of that so much as an overhead as an investment.
Yeah. So just one last point, Peter. I love the quote earlier how you said, you know, your goal is to own the creative relationship. I think because once you own that, like you said, even if they get a kid they know, suddenly they're asking that kid they know where they should order print from. And if you're not in that conversation, you don't have a chance to get it. And so I think it's interesting also that to own the creative relationship might mean that you have a storefront where you can actually be face-to-face, because the creative relationship is very different than ordering relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
More personal.
Yeah, and I think part of so rewinding to September 2014, we still owned 4 printing.com shops, and we rebranded them over weekends to this Nettle formula. So if you Google it, Nettle.com, you'll see the print stores. They don't look like print shops. They're nothing like print shops. They're more like galleries or studio space. I guess they look a bit sometimes like maybe like a California tech startup, but. The Nettle Studio is a place to inspire clients, and so we've tried to move from being the printer. And it drove me nuts when a client would sit down in front of you, take a phone call, and say, "Yeah, I'm just at the printer's, mate." Like, no, we're not the printer. We're your marketer. So well, however much we like to think of ourselves as designers, they still call us the printer. So we figured that it was a bit weird. And the clients don't actually think that they should be buying web from the printer. So I know, you know, every printer's got websites in their window, signs, graphics, whatever. But buying a website from a printer just seems weird. So we changed these studios to Nettle, and as part of that, we tried to be more consultative with the client, and we've kind of moved away from being the printer on conversations about price to be more of a trusted advisor, where we're helping them with solutions and campaigns rather than quotes and how much our 250 business cards make. And that's been quite quite a transition. I guess we're trying to say, look, the print, you know, there's still a place for local creative. It's just not the way it was. People still want to do business face to face with creatives, but doing it across a counter with a white melamine and vinyl tiles isn't good enough anymore. People want to have the whole experience and to come in, to be inspired, and to have grown-up conversations about how they can, how we can help them do business. So that's all we're trying to do with Nettle.
Yeah, and Peter, I think you're following in the footsteps of Apple reinventing retail. Like, you know, remember how ugly cash registers were, and they still exist in some places, and yeah. they just removed that whole thing. There's no sense of waiting in line. There's just, yeah. there's this engagement around the products and the solutions. And, you know, the other thing I love is this idea of, instead of, you know, Jerry Kennelly said this, the same thing on the podcast, the first edition of this podcast. He's like, printers aren't good merchandisers. We need to merchandise print. And so you said we have these big kind of audacious displays and beautiful setting because you want people to be thinking ideas, not cost per page.
Absolutely. Right, so we always have this saying, typical printer's brochure will be their plant list and maybe, if you're lucky, a photograph of their new Komori or Heidelberg. We always say this thing, don't show the ovens, show the buns. So nobody cares about what machines you've got.
Right.
Printers are notoriously bad for marketing. And part of the reason we grew printing.com so quickly, and part of the reason we've got over 100 Netto locations now is every month we provide our partners with marketing collateral, whether that's brochures, mailers, electronic direct mail campaigns, e-shops, all of that stuff we create centrally, and it's up for them to proliferate locally, point of sale, displays. And you know, if you're a printer, you're a designer, you spend all your time working on client designs. You never have time to do that new brochure. You know, we just put our third lookbook out. So we sell these fabric displays and prints like fashion is sold. So in a lookbook, where it's this season's colors, this season's styles, this season's ideas. And we're just trying to make print and display more appealing without it being about specifications and pricing. It's about ideas. And to do that, you need to have, a different approach. So we just provide the collateral, which helps our partners to win new clients and to sell more things to their existing clients.
So, Peter, I just want to say thank you for having this conversation. I just like when people take, you know, it's not an alternative view, because your views and your company are coming at it from what's going on in retail in general, and the struggle of the small business owner to keep up with all this technology. And so, you know, when you talked about, you know, you want to be somebody that can give advice and an advisor and a trusted advisor. You know, I was just thinking about, like, you know, this sushi restaurant that's down the street from my house in San Francisco. They have a pretty sophisticated, it's a one location restaurant, and it's super popular. But the sophistication on their website and their, and how you wait for a table and how you get called and how it's very, very sophisticated for one thing. And so I was talking to the owner, and he really had to figure it out all himself. And he did it because, you know, he had some computer background, but not everybody has that. And, you know, of course in San Francisco, the standards are really, ridiculously high for what you need to do to service the high tech clientele. So, but I think that this brand could bring it more to the masses and at an affordable price, which is also key. So I just want to say thank you for joining the conversation. And I love this format because we get a chance to actually talk through some stuff. We don't have to zero it down to 142 characters or a minute video.
Yeah.